context of white supremacy. Again, that is just like a little sample of the triple T tackiness that has been, I can't even just say it's been on display. In my opinion, it's just been nourished. That was one sound clip that I really regret. Brother Polite was on the program in 2011, and he was saying that he felt that the most powerful white people put President Obama in office to deliberately nourish and encourage white people to be more racist, what we have now, President Trump. And I said that was my conclusion exactly. Like, I had said the exact same thing. I had talked about it with people beforehand, and we kind of had that moment just kind of exchanging how we both came to that same viewpoint. It's in the archives, 2011, but that's just a short sample. And like I said, I easily could have included the reports that they have about the increase in racist groups activity since President Obama was elected, like the Ku Klux Klan and similar more crude racist outfits since 2009. It's just been just a mass. The Tea Party, as I said, the increase in gun sales when whites were stomping around in 2009 with those publicly holding firearms and assault rifles at those town hall meetings. It's just been ongoing. Dr. Welsing talked about all the people that were hopping over the fence at the White House and getting into the White House, getting past security, that it just kept happening. Those people didn't end up being killed like Miriam Carey. But that's just a short sample. And I think the thing that is important just about the little bit that you did hear, again, these are not like, you know, to just say, oh, these are just ignorant old whites, you know, Donald Sterling, old type white people, Paula Deen, just old ignorant white people. And, you know, 5 years they'll be dead. No. You heard white children. You heard white elected officials. You heard white judges, white educators, white police officers. These are generally what people reference as being what they call what? The salt of the earth. This is the finest that we have to offer, public servants and the people that we charge to educate our children, peace officers to keep us safe that are left and right. That nigger in the White House and nigger this thing. Remember the thing in Ferguson? That was part of the emails. I could have included that as well. With Mary Ann Twitty, she was, I think, the only person that was fired and everything that happened with Ferguson and Michael Brown Jr. But part of it was they had been exchanging emails about the Obamas and calling them monkeys and all this racist commentary. I mean, to have just every day to have that sort of thing happening. Even that little tacky song that you heard a little bit of, I hate effing niggers and poor like Obama and all that. If you remember, that's why I said it is a treasure trough. Just looking back through the archives of the compensatory call-in, because I would catch, you know, it would be those sort of things would be happening all the time. So over the past 8 years, or at least the last 5 years that we've done the compensatory call-in, every weekend there's, you know, one or two of those where somebody, nigger this Obama, Michelle Obama's a monkey, and blah, 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 all that. So I was just finding things randomly, just going back and looking through all the archives of audio that I've done. But that song, someone at a high school, I believe in Virginia, it was going to be a high school football game. They played that song on the high school PA. This was a predominantly white school that was hosting the game, so it was their PA system. The team that they were playing, the visiting team, was predominantly black. And so the black team comes out on the field to warm up, and that song got played, and the white people are sitting around, oh, I don't know, somebody got it, I don't know how it happened, I mean, gosh, this is, we take this seriously, you hear that, we're going to take this seriously, we're going to investigate, and we're going to find out how this happened, and we're going to make sure that no one gets access to the PA system again, but yeah, I don't know how that happened, and who even knows where that song came. Anyway, but I mean, just everyday tackiness that has been on this. I guess that's one thing, the people who said that this has helped them become less confused, people that have been paying attention and seeing that sort of thing, if that provided clarity, great. I do kind of get the perception that a lot of people have missed how intense that has been over the last 8 years, but be that as it may, I felt it would have been, we would have been in dereliction of duty to not, you know, make sure that that is highlighted, the way that whites, racists, have behaved over the last 8 years of Obama's presidency. Anybody have any thoughts they want to get in on that?
Can I be heard?
Yes, sir.
Yes, I agree with you. Gus, I had a couple of thoughts. Just in reference to the clips that you played, it's really interesting, all of the connections that these white people, just a string of the clips just show that they function like a racist superorganism, and that they function on such a collective racist level. It made me think, there was a show, another podcast that I was actually a guest on, and I discussed something called the wisdom of the heart, which is a spiritual understanding that our ancestors in the Nile Valley understood that the heart had a mind of its own, which is one of the reasons it was considered the most important organ in the human body. And science has proven that the heart actually has more predictive capability in regards to like sensing danger, things of that nature, before the brain does, that the heart reacts first. So the brain actually picks up on information it's receiving from the heart. And they also proved that the heart also has a mind of its own. And in the article, they discussed the fact that when people get together in groups, that without speaking verbally with one another, just in close proximity with one another, their hearts communicate information that is unsaid verbally, but is understood by the masses of people in a particular group. So it really brought me to the understanding that when white people get together, that's why they function the same, without having to have a verbal conversation about who they're going to treat in a overtly racist manner or anything. They just function in a way in which it's almost like mental telepathy, and that's actually been proven scientifically. So when you're dealing with these white people, that's why we see, no matter where we go in the world, when we encounter them, they all function racist, they all have similar behaviors, they cover for each other. All of that has to do with that spiritual communication going on between their actual hearts and how they function collectively as a racist organism. And I think those clips really kind of bring that home. Another thing about the presidency, you made me think, when you asked us to go over the last 8 years, you made me think of last year, I believe it was, that President Obama's daughter, Malia, was caught smoking weed with her quote-unquote white friends. And again, sobriety would be best, like you always say on every program. I agree with you. And also just the fact that obviously they have not taught their children that white people are racist. I remember they even talked about leaving their children to spend the night at their quote-unquote white friends' houses and having their white friends spend the night with them. So there's President Obama, as close as he was to white people growing up, he's still confused, because obviously if he's allowing them to smoke weed with their white friends and spend the night at their white friends' houses, he's opening up his own children to potential danger without being consciously aware of it. But that's something that you made me think about. And also I was watching, looked at an article not too long ago, and they had a picture of a protester in D.C., and he had they had a sign that said, "Make racists afraid again." And I almost laughed. I doubled over laughing, because I'm like, make racists afraid again? This country was built on the terrorism of non-white people by racists. So what is it that racists have to be afraid of, when they're backed by every area of people activity? As long as your skin is white, you have a global army that is willing and able to kill anything, any living thing in your past, as long as you call them, you know, for their assistance. So I just thought that one sign just gave a great illustration as to how confused people are, and they're out in public. Obviously, this is on the news, this sign, and it's going to give some black people a false impression that racists have ever been afraid to do anything to non-white people in this country. And lastly, you made me think about a conversation I had a couple of days ago with my wife, and we didn't agree. She said that she felt she didn't have the time, the chance to enjoy, I don't know how, but enjoy the Obama's presidency. And I actually said to her, I said, well, for me, it was nothing to enjoy. She actually voted for President Obama both times. I did not vote any time, because I don't vote. I don't think that this is constructive. And she just said she didn't feel she had the chance to enjoy it. And I said, well, I didn't enjoy anything about it, because we've suffered so bad under his presidency. And she went on to say that she felt that the family, I think one of the female callers discussed this earlier, that that President and Mrs. Obama basically handled themselves really, really well when being assaulted by white people verbally. I remember the NYPD had the article with President Obama's a monkey getting shot to death by the NYPD. All of these things, and I said to her, I said, I do agree with that as far as them being a shining example of how to carry yourself with black self-respect in the midst of being completely terrorized by white people. I think that it did an impeccable job with that. As far as the visual of a black family that was functional in some form or fashion that was being shown to the world, I think that was a great thing. But I said, outside of the cosmetics of those things, I really don't think there was anything to enjoy or celebrate about him being in office. And she didn't agree with me. And we ultimately, she conceded that I was correct once I gave her some information about why I felt how I felt. But at some point she said she wanted to enjoy his presidency. Whatever that means, I don't fully understand it. And that was it. Thank you so much. And I'll mute my line.
Right on. I hope you're taking care of yourself, dealing with those oral issues as best you can. The other folks who dialed in, did you have commentary you wanted to share? I'm going to double check with our caller, Frank Vanon, joining us live from the UK. Did you have anything else you wanted to share? Other observations?
Nothing for now.
Right on.
Can I be heard?
Oh, yes, sir.
Awesome. This is just real quick before I check back into the plantation and everything. I just wanted to say, the second term of Obama, I think it really just underscored everything that kind of was revealed to me in the first, that he was going to basically ignore every single major issue facing black people specifically. And I think with all the death that has been showcased, all the black people being killed in these police-related incidences, and the scores of dead bodies piling up in Chicago, I think all of that led to the fact that none of this was addressed in a constructive manner. Is probably the reason why Obama is enjoying such high approval ratings on his departure. I think that even up until the final speech, I don't know if this has been discussed, but he had a problem. I think you wrote an article about this, Gus. He had a problem saying the word racism. And if you listen to the speech, he had a problem saying the word black. I mean, he would, with every single special interest group that he named, he was able to rattle them off smoothly, clearly, and confidently. When he got to addressing black people, however, his voice would begin to quiver, and he would just stutter. And then another thing that I noticed with that final speech was that a reporter asked him directly, "Do you think there will be another black president?" And the president, President Barack Obama, he struggled to answer that question in a coherent manner. He just started listing a whole bunch of other groups of people: Latinos, Jewish, lesbian, gay. He started listing, going through the list of all these different identities that could be president, as opposed to giving a flat yes or no to the question, do you think there will be another black president? And I think that contrasting how I felt when Obama was elected, I mean, like the day he was elected, they were Jimmy John's was driving around campus throwing sandwiches at people that were walking around. I remember the day after, all the black people were just all smiles. We were high-fiving and hugging each other. It was probably one of the best days to be black in America. I don't know if you remember that, but it felt really, really, really good. It felt really good. And then to this departure, I feel good that it's finally over. I feel the same way you would feel after removing a cast or something like that. Just, I'm glad I have my leg back. Yes, it's atrophied, but hey, at least my skin can breathe. And I guess that's just the way that I felt over the past two terms of this presidency of Barack Obama. I think that he was used as a tool to harm black people at the pleasure of suspected white supremacists. And anytime I think of Barack Obama, I think of the many woodcuttings of the black slave whipping the other black slave while the white people observe and sip their mint juleps. And I guess that'll be all. Thank you so much, Gus, for this presentation. I'm doing all I can to put it out there, and I hope that there's been more listeners today. I think that this was a really good thing to be done. Thank you.
Right on.
Yep. Can I be heard?
Yes, sir.
Just some final comments on observations that I've had today from paying attention to the program. Today is an accumulation of, in the past, recent past, you know, you have black people stating that all you have to do is, you know, fill in the blanks, pull your pants up, be well groomed, be well versed, get degrees and that sort of thing, and actually that's the epitome of Barack Hussein Obama and his wife. Individually, I believe they're both financially pretty well off. Individually, let alone talking about together, both of them are highly educated individuals. I believe both of them are attorneys. I could be wrong about that, but I think I'm correct that they are both attorneys individually. Their resumes basically is up to the level on a global level of anybody individually, but they happen to have some color in them. So therefore, just like the rest of us, they are subject to be mistreated. And it is certainly during an 8-year period that we had an observation, and I would advise that it be a scientific one, an observation of these two individuals, and even the children, that is something to really observe and think about from the standpoint of, although you can do all of that, white people, it doesn't make a difference with them, that you are still subject to be mistreated. It depends on how they want to use your example. Now, mind you that they are no longer in the position that they once were in for the last 8 years, but I think they're still going to get a lot of attention and get a lot of attention from non-white black people. Normally how this goes is with non-white black people that have the type of attention on the level that they have, it doesn't go away until their ultimate demise as far as not breathing or something that takes place that can be broadcast around the world that is considered to be negative as far as that concern, that some mistake or some error of some type that may have happened to one of them or all of them in an individual basis. So that's like a stay tuned type of thing as far as that concerned. But that's my final analysis of today. Thank you.
Have you heard?
Yes, sir.
Great analysis by Firefighter Roz, everyone who's participated. I must say, I'm glad that this show came about. Because in 2008, I did vote for Mr. Obama, and I was a lot more confused then. And since then, I realized that my vote doesn't matter. The system is the system. And I did not vote for him in 2012. I did not vote at all. I decided never to vote again unless I could see it making a significant change in our situation. So I'm so glad this show came about over the last 8 years. when Gus decided to rebroadcast, and I've been a constructive listener. I've learned a lot. I consider Gus to be my master teacher. I'm sure he'd probably say Dr. Wells is his or Mr. Fuller. My observation I wanted to make was while you were playing those clips, I sat at my desk. I'm still on the plantation for the next 20 minutes or so. And I Googled, put in nigger in Google Maps, nigger house, and up popped up 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. So it's still there. I'm sure it'll be changing now. Need to make it the cracker house. But the Trump there, I'm sure they're not, that's not going to be the nigger house pretty soon. Also, I wanted to say, one clip that, well, not a clip, but one event that happened that just stuck out to me, and I use it as an example to this day to describe the presidency of the former president, was it was a postal guy, a postal worker, who had all these letters that were condemning Mr. Obama against his health care and other things. And he decided he was going to deliver them on a gyrocopter. And, of course, you're not supposed to fly within a certain amount of feet of the White House. And he posted online. He was greeted by the Secret Service. They warned him against it. He decided he was still going to do it. He got on a gyrocopter to deliver these letters to the president and flew right onto the White House lawn and was taken away in custody. Was not shot at, did not have a missile shot at his gyrocopter. Even after 9/11, when people crashed planes in the buildings, didn't matter. And I just felt that to be so compelling. I would guarantee you that it's not a black person alive that the post, they're going to fly a gyrocopter into the White House, even as Barack Obama was president, but now with Trump as president. And we don't see a Marion Carey type situation take place immediately. Probably shot down in the sky. So I just thought that that just showed how they did not protect this man. And I think that was done to keep him in line, keep him on to their agenda. Like, you know, the agenda is racism, white supremacy. Is not about trying to help black people. Anytime it seemed like he was going to make a statement or say something, his life was threatened by someone entering the White House, someone hopping the lawn, and none of these people were killed or shot. And I just thought that that was the most telling part of his presidency, how they did not protect this man. And I think he was truly afraid to speak up. And I'll mute my line. Thank you.
Other commentary?
Can I be heard really quick?
Oh, yes, ma'am. We can hear you.
I'm glad that the previous caller said what he said, because that's what I was thinking. Excuse me. Slightly winded, but when you're afraid to say black and you're afraid to say white because of what other people are going to think or how they're going to respond, it means we've been terrorized, traumatized, and I'm sure that, without a doubt, that the amount of terrorism and trauma that he has experienced, I mean, you know, I think about my own so-called microaggression, which is just racism, you know, passive-aggressive racism that I experienced, it would have to be, I can't even speak on it. And for me to, you know, think about what if someone brought me a coffee? What if the coffee has poison in it? I mean, 8 years of constant, fear. And I think that's one of the things that I'm definitely taking away. Absolutely, hands down, we can't dress our way out of racism. We can't educate ourselves out of racism. We can't do anything about racism other than replace the system of racism with a system of justice. And I'm so grateful for myself and for all the other people who've gotten clarity through the cows or whatever means they've gotten clarity about the system of racism and how it functions, because it helps us mentally to fortify our minds to be a little stronger against the effects, the negative effects. Well, all the effects of racism are negative. Whereas someone like, you know, Mr. Barack Obama, I don't know if he's as clear about the system of racism, how it works and all of that, as, and that could just be because, and Dr. Wilson talked about it, he has a white mother. He has white family members. It's going to make it very difficult for him to see some of the things that we can see, those of us who don't have white parents and stuff. So, you know, I think Mr. Ken Steele had spoken about, I mean, I have not heard that speech, but that, like, he couldn't say black and he couldn't say racism. I mean, man, you know, to look in the mirror and think, well, I'm in the what's considered to be the highest position, and those are two words I can't say. I mean, I definitely am walking away from having lived through this, seeing, you know, how grave the trauma and the terrorism is outside of myself. And it's a good check for me, you know, because every now and then, like, I kind of want to kind of backslide or kind of want to be like, well, maybe there's something I can do that will, you know, maybe. But you can't change the fact that you're black in a system of racism and white supremacy. And if I ever need a reminder of that, I'll just remember what Mr. and Ms. Obama went through and continue to go through. And putting that, you know, they still, I think, will have some level of protection, but they're going to be living with around regular people again, you know. They live in, like, a really posh neighborhood in D.C., but their address has even been, like, published. And I don't think that just the minute that he's out the White House, like, all of a sudden they're going to be like, whew, ah, glad we made it out of there alive. I'm pretty sure that they're still going to be living under that constant fear of death. You know, it could just be that one. It could be Darren Wilson, or it could be Ruth climbing through their window, you know what I'm saying, and doing whatever, or their children. Someone could do something to their children, even at college. So, and it also, my final thing is to remember that we do not qualify for mental health under the system of racism and white supremacy. White parents were not. And it is clear. I mean, they show pictures of how he has aged in those 8 years. Even his facial features, like, that man has given his life energy. Like, I don't want to say given, it was taken, it was just expended in those 8 years, and you can visually see it, not to mention hear it in what he's capable of speaking about or incapable of speaking about. And with that, I just, you know, it definitely will humble. Like, I can't say, oh, he didn't do nothing for me or whatever, whatever. No one has, no one will. The only thing that can be done is to replace the system of racism and white supremacy. So if, unless you're doing that, then whatever, you know. But man, how terrifying even for me. It's almost like that, excuse me, that one female who said, I made a mistake and I went to my dad's job. He was everything to me. I went to his job and there was that little white kid down talking to my father. And that's when I realized I was alone. If anything, I think that's one of the things this presidency has let black people know, that we are alone. And if we're going to replace this system of racism and white supremacy, we're going to do it. It won't be that leader or whatever, but it's really sad to see. And I know for Michelle, she's ecstatic. She's been ready. Like, all the interviews I've watched with her, she's like, I cannot wait to this. She was more happy than Gus about today, because she's been done. And I think I hope she writes a book, but the level of stress and trauma and terrorism that they've been under, I can speak for myself. I don't think I could even fathom it. But thank you.
For sure, for sure. Yeah, I thought I got that sense as well, that Michelle Obama is totally done with all of this. Like, I am cool. Like, this has not been all it's cracked up to be, and I am ready to get gone. I did want to get in. This is our last audio clip. Like I said, we could have played tons. This is Mr. Fuller. Again, I thought he had some pretty solid assessment all the way through for the folks who were disgruntled about President Obama. And he had set up for up that he knew that was going to be the case. But I thought he had a lot of great commentary on the last 8 years as well. Our final audio clip for the program, and then we'll see if folks have anything else they want to get in. But Mr. Fuller, once again, producejustice.com, producejustice.com.
President Obama makes suggestions, and he asks for things from the same people that I ask for things from. He has the ability to ask more people, but basically, I mean, if anything's going to get done, it's going to be the white supremacists who's going to decide that it's done anyway. So that's the response to that. That's not a lot of back and forth between black people themselves. Because anybody who wants anything of any value, you're going to have to get it from the white supremacists. Now, each and every individual black person can do that on a day-to-day basis, wherever they happen to be. They're around white people. Just walk up and ask them for what you want. You don't have to go through President Obama, because he's going to have to go and ask the same people that I ask. See, that's what I mean by understanding white supremacy. That's supreme. President Obama has asking power. So do I. Black people have to understand that. He doesn't have a magic wand. I mean, he's not sitting there, I mean, you know, it can just anybody, like I said, even before he got to be president. Just sit there all day and, you know, and Junebug Jackson calls up there and say, "Hey, Prez, you know, I'm short of cash today." And Obama just say, "Okay, home, you know, how much you need? I'll make out a check right now and send a messenger over there with it." That's how a lot of black people think, including black people who, you know, are professors and professionals and, you know, well, they don't really think that way per se, but basically that's what they're saying, which is not logical. I mean, he can't do any more than any of the black people who are complaining. If they had the job, you think they can just walk out and say, "I'm going to look out for these black folks. The heck with you white folks, you know. Y'all had y'all free run. I got the job now." Right. I ain't doing nothing for you. I mean, you know, I'm president now. Forget about it. Get over it. You know, get a life. I'm looking out for my folks. They're hurting. Yeah, he can say that. I don't think he'll get nothing from it. Won't be able to come out of that White House. His phone will be cut off. He'll become a prisoner in there. That's what I think would happen. He came out there on the steps and said that. Now, I'm tired of playing with y'all, you know. Y'all just mucking around and whatnot. I'm going to show you where the deal is. You know, y'all going to get a wake-up call. Yeah, I can see him telling the white folks that. Yeah, black people would cheer for about 15 minutes until they find their electricity turned off. In one sentence, President Obama has begging power. Same as I. He just does it with a suit and tie on every day. When he chooses to wear one. He gets on planes. You know, Air Force One, going through the air all over the world and whatnot. But all the time he's on the phone, what he's doing is begging. Begging means asking more than once. He's begging for the people in the Middle East to do this and that. I can do that, you know. Hey, why don't y'all straighten up? Why don't y'all do right? I can do that all day long. Been doing it. I got begging power. Every black person got that. That's one thing you can do. They do allow you to do that up to a point, you know, as long as you don't do it too often and under every circumstance where you get on white people's nerves. But they do allow you to beg. Because they know that's how you're going to get anything anyway. You get their attention and they decide whether or not they're going to give something to you that you want. President Obama is in the same position. His voice can be heard, but that doesn't say that people have to respond to it who are able to do the responding in a manner in which he would be satisfied with. Same as me. Now, any black person that doesn't understand that, or hadn't thought about it, needs to. And stop pretending that President Obama is a miracle worker. I mean, a lot of those black people who might be complaining have jobs. They ask for these jobs. And if they go into the job tomorrow, whatever that job is, some of them are professors and all like that, they go in there and the white supremacists, either directly or indirectly, left a letter on their desk saying, well, we don't think we need you no more in this place where you work as a professor. Now, all you can do is just go down there and, you know, and try to talk nicely and mean and retain your job. I think I'm needed, boss. I'd like for you to tell me that I'm needed. Is anything that I can do to prove to you that I might be needed here? Every black person understands that. So why do you think President Obama can act any different?
I know many of the black people that I have heard criticize him. They said, you know, number one, he wouldn't have that job. He wouldn't be in the White House if he didn't have a white parent. And I don't think that's what they said. I don't think he's looking out for black people at all. He's just confusing a lot of black people. And he's making it so that black people will not be critical of things that are done under this administration, quote unquote, because it's a black person. Who's president, and so they don't want to make it seem like they're picking on him and joining in with the other white people who are likely being racist when they criticize him and make things difficult. They're just saying that it's confusing other black people, and they're very frustrated with him. They see that he's not doing anything to help black people or even doing things to harm black people here and worldwide. And
well, see, I'm not even criticizing I'm not criticizing the black people who are doing the criticizing because they got VGQ too. But I do ask a logical question. See, you have, you know, follow the logic. Yeah, I think everybody should be following logic, including me. Mm-hmm. So the logic tells me that the obvious question is just one question to ask the black people who do have criticisms of President Obama. Even if I have criticism, whatnot, I just ask myself, what is it that he can do or say specifically? Just name something. See, don't just say, hey, man, do something. I mean, you know, help black folks. I mean, you sitting up here shucking and jiving and whatnot. I mean, it's time to get it on and all this. I mean, I don't know what people are saying, but you know, word for word, but it's just one question. You know, what can you do and how can you do it? If you're going to put it in one question, what can you do and how can you do it? And I don't see no specifics. I just hear that do something thing. Well, when you do something, it's something that you've got to be doing. And these things get down to details. It's always in the details. What can you do? And how can you go about doing it? And, you know, and the people who are making these suggestions about him should, I think, if I, you know, part of the codification is don't make a criticism without making a suggestion. And that suggestion should work. See, ain't no point in asking for something that ain't going to work. And some people, I think, want a lot of drama. Like I just illustrated, I mean, you know, come out on the White House with the fist in there, and, you know, wearing a black beret, you know, and got an AK-47 strapped across his back, and say, it's black power time, you know, say amen, bro, you know, right. Now, like I said, a lot of black people would be impressed with that. Say, that's my man, you know, but hey. Like I said, when they go in on the job the next day, that white guy at the warehouse is going to say, okay, Greg, yeah, I heard your president last night. He's talking about black power. So that's what you're going to need because you ain't getting no job here no more. So you go over there and sit on the White House steps, see if he got something for you. You don't work at Acme Warehouse no more. I mean, you black people got it made now, so take off. You don't need us. Your president just told us. Then what? See what I mean? It's easy to stand back and say what somebody else ought to be doing. Codification is about doing things yourself.
Context of white supremacy. We broadcast it so long we broke the conference recording on the free HD line, but we are still rolling. The great Neely Fuller Jr., producejustice.com, heard from him a few times today, as well as Dr. Welsing. Even Bill Cosby got mentioned a few times. Yeah, I thought that really gets to the core, in my opinion. And even all of that, even if you disagree with all of that, hey, all of it's moot now, because now all of your frustrations about the White House and what's happening or not happening, President Donald J. Trump. I am ecstatic, ecstatic, ecstatic. Did folks have anything they wanted to get in last few minutes? We have almost done 6 hours. 6 hours. Did folks have anything they wanted to get in before we get ready to see if we can wrap things up on this, as they say, historic day with the end of the Obama era?
Can I be heard?
I heard both of you. I guess we'll get Rob in Wisconsin, and then we'll get Roz.
Okay. Thanks, Roz, and thanks, Gus. I fell asleep on the broadcast due to health issues, which I want to touch on in my final analysis. I think that the presidential inauguration really highlighted what this country is all about. I'll go back to an analysis that Dr. Welsing gave of the American flag being similar to a white person, white skin, blue veins, which the red blood goes through. I think that was on, I think that was specifically highlighted today. And I think that President Barack Obama, I think him being president highlighted what a tragic arrangement produces. And it seems that in 2016, the children from tragic arrangements were placed out front. And I think that did a lot to quote unquote lull black people to sleep. And I think that President Barack Obama, I have a different opinion as far as I've been hearing people say that, you know, that black family being in the White House was constructive. In my analysis, I think that it worked in the opposite direction. I think that their relationship put more of the highlight on the rift between the black male and the black female, man, because the Obamas not living my life. They not living below the poverty line. And science has proven when you live in poverty, man, it changes the mind. And the last thing that I'll touch on, I've been hearing people say, and this is locally I'm talking about, how quote-unquote Obamacare, which is actually called the Affordable Health Care Act, how that has helped them. And, you know, they have got to benefit from that. And my analysis is just the opposite. I'm physically disabled right now.
and I have health insurance. When I go to the doctor, after receiving X-rays, I had MRIs on my neck, on my legs, and although the MRI revealed that I do have a bulging disc in my neck, I'm not being treated. I think my next appointment was set for like the end of March, you know, or something like that. And like my question to them, like, well, what do I do in the meantime? And like the previous caller said, I gotta do what I gotta do because I'm alone. I don't think it was constructive for black people at all. I feel like I go through a constant symbolic castration when I'm encountering other black people, white people. So mommy on my line. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for sharing, Rob, in Wisconsin. I hope you are managing your health as best you can under, you know, obviously way less than optimal circumstances. Medical apartheid comes to mind again. Roz, you were going to comment?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you. I wanted to just send the shout out to Rob. I hope that you're able to facilitate your health and healing. That must be a very terrible and painfully uncomfortable situation to be in. I don't know if you have tried turmeric, but turmeric is really good for inflammation. I don't know if it might help you, but it's just something I wanted to toss out there, and I hope that you are able to get the health care that you need to get back on your feet. I don't know if you saw this, Gus, but I wanted to bring up that former President Obama got a death threat today from a white male from Medford, New Jersey. This was today he threatened him, so the threats will continue. I wonder what's going to happen once he is no longer in the White House. And, of course, I know usually they do have Secret Service for their lifetime for themselves and their family. But still, I think that he's going to have a seriously trying time trying to protect himself from these white psychopaths that he's going to end up living around in Washington, D.C. I just wanted to also just touch on and say to you, Gus, thank you so much for this show. This show is extremely important to the upliftment of the consciousness of black people and other non-white people to the system of white supremacy and how it works. That is the most important problem that we have on this planet facing us as a human collective. And your show is just so, so important. I thank you for all of the programs, just all of the forethought, the orchestration of the show under the banner of black self-respect. Thomas in New York said, you know, I look up to you as well. Just I really laud the work that you're doing. I know Dr. Welsing is smiling in a mental way she is just with the work that you're doing and the fact that you're able to help propagate a much more relevant understanding of the system and how to make adjustments in our behavior to counter the system. And I just wanted to really say thank you for today's show. Thanks to all the other people that called in. Your thoughts, ideas, and perspectives were great. It helped to even further expand my consciousness, too. And I just look forward to further great dialogue around this subject, and hopefully we can come up with an answer to it as soon as possible. And I wish you all the best, and to everyone else on the show, I wish you the best as well. Thank you.
May I be heard?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I'm not going to make it all. I just also, too, wanted to thank you, you know, for this stuff, and just thank you for, you know, your program, period, because... before I started listening to you, I would sit over and it's like, I know these white people, the stuff that they do. But it really wasn't until I started listening to your program that my eyes opened up in ways that I was just like, whoo, just had no, I mean, I almost can't put it in words, you know, when I started, you know, started listening and then I started listening to your archives. And, you know, just no clue, you know, the things that you think that may be going on. And you know, sometimes you think this is happening. Like, oh, that's not happening. And then I remember I listened to the show in your archive, Two Faces of Racism. It was like, yeah, it's happening. So you have opened up my eyes to a lot, even this, you know, talking about President Obama, and I'll be honest with you, somewhere in my head, I'm having a little cognitive dissonance because I know it's the truth as to what we've been talking about and what yourself and the callers have been saying. And then still in my head somewhere, I have a little bit of problem with that, and that just could be that the white chip is, you know, because I mean, we had to show up my deactivating your white chip, so that my white chip is not as deactivated as it should be. But, you know, as I live, and I learn, and I grow. And so I just do, again, just want to thank you for this because it really has helped me. And believe you me, I share it with people as much as I can, those that can handle it, which is not too many people. But, you know, I share it as much as I can. So I just want to just say thank you for that. And just thank you, too, for the assessment of, you know, the Obama presidency. I just, you know, when the books are written and books are, you know, being published now in the vice presidency, people are writing books will be printed, more books will be published, articles will be written. And I just think that Black people, we should see things that should be shocking to us, you know, in the sense of, even I just listened to what Billy Fuller say, what can he do? But, you know, knowing that, let me put it like this, I'm going to say what can he do? But knowing that he was exercising really benign neglect when it came to Black people. And now we have to deal with that as we go forward. So, you know, I just want to say to Black people, you know, you got to open up, all right, let's open up our eyes, keep our ears open. We cannot isolate ourselves. I would say this, and I wrote on my page today, my Facebook page, we're in a new era now. We don't fall back. We don't run. We don't fall back. We don't run. We stand. And that's what we have to do. We have to stand. So thank you. And I'll mute myself.
Appreciate that. I'm sure we will have continuing material to assess with Trump's time in office. We'll get the people that I don't think we've heard from these folks at all. Let's see, the caller at 9706 and 2812. Did y'all have commentary you wanted to share?
Can I be heard?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, greetings. I just got off work. I know I missed a lot of the program, but I caught Mr. Fuller the last part, and I had lunch today, and they had the TV on mute, and the only thing that was on the TV was they were showing people throwing, it's like garbage cans through windows, and I was just snickering and smiling, and I know it wasn't funny, but I was like, this is, you know, the word that I thought about when Mr. Obama's presidency, specifically for me, because I voted for him twice, in reference to just as a Black person, was relief. And I think really that's the undertone of what many non-white people were believing, is that this guy was going to give us relief. And relief from what? Relief from white supremacy. And I think that's what, I think that's all this is that that's why people are just so disappointed. That's why, you know, people are just these emotional reactions that now that I listen to the cows and Dr. Wilson, you know, you can think about things a little bit better, but people just want relief. I mean, Black people just want specifically relief from white supremacy, from everything that happens to us daily in our neighborhoods and every area of activity. And I also think, even as bad as it is I think that it's an act, the way that we act and the way that a lot of non-white people that are a little bit more confused look at it, I think it's an accurate response because they're just not looking at the problem correctly. So, you know, the next 4 years or the lifetime, until the problem is ending, I don't care who's in office. Donald Trump, Daffy Duck, it doesn't matter. But, you know, Mr. Obama's presidency, I respected him. I knew that after a while that his job was going to be hard. The moment I think I really knew it was going to be bad was the article when they started. I can't remember what year it was. Is when people had an issue with Michelle Obama showing her arms. And I was like, why is this a problem? And then that's when I started to get into the cows and just start to be more listening. And somebody actually introduced me to Hidden Colors, Dr. Welsing, and then all of a sudden Mr. Fuller and then you. So I appreciate the show. Enjoyed the last snippet with Mr. Fuller, and I'll meet my line. Thanks, guys.
For sure. The caller at 9706, did you have commentary?
Yes, may I be heard?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I hope I'm coming in kind of clear. I'm driving and it's a little bit rainy, but don't worry, I'm on hands-free mode. So, but just let me know if you can't hear me for whatever reason. You know, I watched the inauguration today. I thought it was pretty interesting during Donald Trump's speech. I know if you're a longtime listener of the Cows, you can definitely cue in a lot of codified white supremacist rhetoric within his speech. I thought that was pretty interesting. And then also, you know, really just seeing Obama and his family go away for the last time. I know that many victims of racism, particularly those that, you know, classify themselves as black, this is a very sad day. But, you know, at the same time, I think what's even more sad is, you know, how, you know, we as the people, how do you reconcile the image, or the imagery rather, of a black family in office while, you know, white supremacy is still running rampant, you know? And I know many people have their own opinions about Obama and, you know, what he did for black people or what he didn't do or whatever. But, you know, I really, at the end of the day, just really reconciling those two images and the difficulty of reconciling that, I think, is something that, you know, I'll think about for pretty much the rest of my life. And it's something I'm definitely going to bring up, you know, with my children as they ask me about the first black president. You know, I'll tell them, you know, that that was a difficult thing to reconcile, those two image, you know, those two imageries of, you know, black president, family in the White House, and continued mistreatment of victims of racism in these United States and, quite frankly, all over the world, you know, while he was president. Also, I'd like to thank you, Gus. You know, about 6 hours strong, that's pretty big. That's really good. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to listen at work, so right when I got off, I had to dial in. Also, you know, again, like many of the other callers, they stated as well, you know, I learned about your program by just really looking at content from, you know, any content that Dr. Welsing was on, any content that Neely Fuller was on. And then, you know, the Cows popped up, I think, maybe on YouTube somewhere, and that's how I, you know, became a subscriber to the Cowcast. So, once again, thank you for, you know, what you've done, your efforts. They do not go ignored. I will continue to share the Cows podcast and channel for all my friends on Facebook that are in, you know, disbelief right now. But I think this will be healthy for them and constructive for them to dial in occasionally and also listen to the podcast, the archives. Individuals like Dr. Kamal Kamban, that was on your, you know, on your show several times, as well as Neely Fuller, Dr. Welsing, peace be upon her name. So thanks again, Gus.
For sure, for sure. The caller at 9756, last four digits 9756, did you have commentary?
Yes, sir. First-time caller, but I've been listening for a while. I just wanted to thank you for all the work you do. Like a couple of the other callers, excuse me if I'm driving, there's a little bit of background noise. But like a couple of the other callers, actually found out about you through, I first found out about Hidden Colors, and then Dr. Welsing, and then eventually through YouTube and other things, the Cows. But all I wanted to comment on was what I've seen in my personal life is that a lot of us so-called black people are victims of racism. A lot of us are responding very distressed, but I'm glad that, you know, I have an understanding of racism and white supremacy, because to me it's business as usual, and I'm not sure. I just called and I haven't listened to the entire show, but to me it's just business as usual, and I really think that if a lot more black people were aware of the system of white supremacy and how this is a daily thing that happens continuously, and they display that we live in a system of white supremacy on a daily basis, they wouldn't be surprised by a Trump election. They wouldn't feel like something is going to happen that has not already happened, or is not already happening, given police terror or whatever else. And the second thing I wanted to state was, I've been one of those people who waffled between frustration with President Obama and understanding that he's a powerless victim of racism. But if you wanted to give your thoughts, Gus, before I get off. The only thing that frustrates me is he doesn't seem to be powerless with anybody but black people, right? If he's asked to address, quote-unquote, Latinos, he's able to do that. You know, he uses executive orders to sign different orders to protect immigrants. You know, we got the gay rights legislation passed. You know, the first act he signed was the Lilly Ledbetter Act, which was for white women. Anything that's for women is white women, in my opinion. And so that's my only frustration, because that gives me sometimes the impression that he's not so powerless, but that he is, or maybe he is, but I just don't know why the white supremacists give him permission to help other groups that are, some of them are considered non-white, but for some reason black people must always, always be neglected. And that's all I have to say.
First time caller. Glad you were able to chime. I guess we just needed to have a program. We stayed on long enough where you had an opportunity to dial in. I guess my quick response to your frustration, I guess sometimes feeling that President Obama doesn't seem, quote unquote, powerless to respond to the needs or concerns of the gay rights movement or white women or Latinos or whatever the other group happens to be. I think that is because that is the racist white supremacist agenda. Like anything, and I think exactly as you stated it, it's black people that are especially terrorized in the system of white supremacy. That's their agenda. So anything that is, hey, this is great for our business right now. If we go out and go really, really hard on gay rights, that'll be great for our business right now. So yes, absolutely. Not only will we allow, we will make sure that you do this. This is good for our business right now, going out and talking about immigrants' rights or Latinos, quote unquote, or women's rights, the Lilly Ledbetter Act, or transgender issue, anything. This is, you know, our agenda. This is going to be good for the business of white power. So absolutely, get out there. In fact, you had better get out there and don't even worry about what you got to say. We already got the speech for you with black people. Don't worry about that speech either, because you're not going to be giving it. We have nothing to say to the niggers, and we'll make sure that you don't. And, well, you know, if you get to thinking you want to pull another Skip Lewis Gates or Trayvon Martin, well, you know, when the next person comes over that fence, maybe we'll stop them. Maybe we won't. And I think we saw a lot of that over the last 8 years. I could be in error, but that's my general counter-racist assessment. The caller in the UK, I'm just checking in because I muted this line. The people on the vote line sometimes, the background noise, because they're on their computer, we pick it up. So I'll just mute them to preserve the quality. Caller in the UK, did you have commentary? Or are you just listening in? Frank went on.
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Loud and clear.
Yeah, no, I was just listening in. I can't really think of anything specific that I'd like to say now. in regards to Barack Obama or Donald Trump, I think sort of maybe in terms of looking ahead towards the so-called future, I think we can sort of expect the same sort of treatment from white people in relation to black people or in relation to us as victims of white supremacy. I don't think there's going to be any change in that regard. And also I'd like to I guess use this opportunity to echo what a few other callers have said in terms of just giving you props for the work that you do in terms of the Kyle Show and just sort of disseminating knowledge about the way the system works and how it manages to keep us in chains mentally and physically. yeah, that's it really. I mean, I think everything I would like to say, everyone else has said most things. I would just be repeating what everyone said really. I mean, from the point of view of the UK, I mean, it's the same thing, you know. White people, the white people in America, they come from England, they come from Europe. So, I mean, it's the same set of people. And in terms of Africa, same thing really. I mean, a cousin of mine who's a medical doctor back home, he told me about this incident that happened to him with a Spanish girl who came to Lagos, and she allegedly said to his face that he looked like a monkey. and I guess this is probably one of the effects of the Obama effect, I guess, you know. It's given them so much, it's emboldened white people I would say it's probably reinvigorated them, you know, to say and do well, to speak and act in ways that maybe they would have in ways that they maybe previously would have not. I mean, I don't know what else to say other than to just say that well done for all you're doing, and I'm pleased to be a part of this. Yeah, that's it really.
Right on. Good hearing from Frank Fanon was with us this past weekend for the Global Sunday Talk on Racism. That was, I think, his first time participating, and glad to have him back quickly to get his thoughts on the inauguration as well. The person that dialed in, 6900, did you have commentary? 6900?
Yes, can I be heard?
Yes, sir.
Yes, good evening to everybody. Good evening, Gus. Thanks again for a great show. I was able to listen while I was on the plantation today. Very interesting, because as I think about it, I was one of those individuals, definitely a lot more aware when former President Barack Obama came into office. And as an attempted father at that time of two young boys, you know, feeling like this may be it. This may be that opportunity where I could kind of feel good about my kids having an opportunity to kind of make it. And I dropped a tear. You know, I mean, I dropped a tear during that time frame, and I know a lot of people aren't admitting it now. But I think there was that little bit of hope, just as that market machine put out there. I had a little bit of it, kind of drank the Kool-Aid. And as I saw things change quickly, I sent you some emails, some videos, Gus, in reference to some of the things that kind of just saw the tipping point start to happen. And as I started listening to you, Mr. Fuller, Black Self-Respect from just the great Dr. Francis Krause Welding, and started to understand what it looked like, I even felt it myself, how powerless I felt in my position, corporate and, you know, doing this and doing that, and realizing at any minute, as Mr. Fuller says, you know, you could be sitting in front of the big desk today and actually mopping the floor tomorrow. And it's just like that. So learned a lot. Definitely sorry to see that there has been no real progress outside of the fact that I'm excited that more and more people, just to hear from 1482, Firefighter, Ross, Rob, I mean, Ken Steele, I feel like I have a family that kind of gets it, because there are times that I go out in front of other people and they're looking at me like, this guy's really off the far, you know, the deep end. Sorry for the metaphor. But I just feel like at least we are going in the right direction. And, you know, even thinking about the 8 years you've been doing this, and I say to myself, wow, I've only been in like a year and a half, you know, and I feel like I've gained so much. So I think you, I thank everybody that participates, because I think the participation is really what makes this, because, you know, as Mr. Fuller says, we have to do it individually, but together individually, I think is working really well. Just a quick real add-on. My son called me after he got out of school, and he said, "Dad, I'm feeling kind of bad." And I said, "Well, what happened?" He said, "Well, could you believe, like, they pulled us out of recess early, and we had to come in and watch the inauguration?" And he said, "All, you know, the little white girls, like, they all ran up in front of the television, and there's a teacher of his that always gets on him because he's doing great in school, but she's not helping him at all. So every time he goes in trying to do extra credit, she denies it. She was the first one in front of the television with all the little white girls around her." And he said, "Dad, that was the three T's right there." And I said, "You know what? No matter what happens, I think that as long as we continue to do what we're doing and we're pushing the information and the people that need that most help, which are the little kids that are in that environment every day, I think the message is helping." So, you know, so I thank you guys, as I mentioned earlier, and I don't want to belabor it, but again, just thanks for all your work.
Right, for sure. The person, first time callers, I guess we had to be on at a earlier hour. The person that dialed in 3246, did you have a commentary, observation?
Yes, sir. Can I be heard?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. I had some commentary on the first time when President Obama was elected president. Like the previous caller, I shed a tear. I kind of smile, you know, and laugh about it now, but I did at the time. Even knowing that we were still in a system of white supremacy and knowing that, you know, the problem has always been white people for the last so many generations. I still shedded a tear when Obama came into office. So it's just really interesting. Just, I don't know, this whole time frame and this life, you know. But I would say Obama's presidency it signaled the end of America, in my opinion, when they put the black president in the White House. To me, or not even just to me, but if you just listen to, you know, what folk were saying on social media, like YouTube, different, I call them ICE albinos, but they would just speak about this is the end of America. And they said it so many times, or like it seemed like they really meant it. So I see it as the end of America. And then when Dr. Welsing, who holds a very high place in my mind, when Dr. Welsing said that Trump's his inauguration, or him becoming president, would kind of signal this being comparative to Nazi Germany, or North America being comparative to Nazi Germany. I was just going to say, it's just really interesting. This is seems like the end of America. I don't know exactly how it's going to play out. I wish everybody, I guess, Godspeed, or however you say luck. Oh, and just to go on with the rest of the callers, I have found this particular program probably the most constructive program that is going on right now. And I could say that at least I'm not super tech, you know, but, you know, I'm savvy enough. I know what's going on. And I would say this is this is what I've seen to be the most constructive program. So, you know, I appreciate that. We're going to have to solve this problem. I think this show is this is actually probably more important than trying to buy up property, is spreading this particular content. But I'll mute my line. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Caller, he's with us tomorrow. We can, yep, tomorrow, that'll be Saturday. He can get us the definition about land. I think that was him from the broadcast yesterday on workplace racism. We'll get that compensatory call in 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, Saturday evening. We'll be here. I think we got all of the people that dialed in. I don't think there's anybody with us who we missed totally, who has a hand up that hasn't been able to share at all. I don't think. Yes, I didn't think so. I will get one more person as we get to about the 6.5 hour mark. We'll get one more person, see if they have anything they wanted to get in before we wrap things up. Anybody with us? I think we've heard from everybody. Anybody, something really pressing they want to make sure they get in before we end? Be our last comment.
May I be heard?
Yes, sir.
Yes. To kind of chime on to what the caller from the UK mentioned, I believe he might be Nigerian. I'm Nigerian as well. Today I learned that apparently they're doing some protests in Nigeria about Donald Trump, which is just amazing to me because I don't find any real direct correlation between Donald Trump and Nigerians, but people in Nigeria, apparently there are some pro-Trump protesters in Nigeria that were harmed or even killed, I think, by police officers in Nigeria. So that's just another glaring example of just the vast confusion that's occurring amongst victims of racism globally. Not only are blacks, quote-unquote, confused here in the United States, but they're also terribly confused all over Africa. So I thought that was a good thing to note.
Wow. I'll leave my line. Wow, I will have to check on that once it is. Global system, certainly good to keep that in mind. And, you know, people around the world certainly are paying attention to this event. But, wow, I have to check on that once we wrap. Since we will be here tomorrow, right, for the compensatory call-in. So certainly people will have an opportunity tomorrow evening to share thoughts and observations. And, you know, more will have taken place over the next 24 hours or so to process what's happened and get a chance to see how they write this up, what's in the newspapers, how they cover the protests, all that. So we'll check in tomorrow and see what people have to say. But wowee, the end of the Obama era. I am still ecstatic. Oh my God. I certainly, the folks who said that it helped them become less confused about racism, that's grand. I hope that was replicated. And if that happened in mass, then great. If that's pushed us to being a little bit closer to solving this problem, outstanding. But it certainly was not a pleasant process to go through, at least not for me, for a variety of reasons. I am looking forward. Now we can have, and particularly not just to have someone classified as white back in the White House, but to have someone who is regularly identified as a racist by many whites and many non-whites, to have that grand. We will see how it goes, but thanks to all the folks who participated. I think we had some folks who hung out for the duration. We started this, it was 8:30 a.m. My time. It is 3 in the afternoon. I started in the bed and I got up, I hung out, and I ended up getting back in bed, which is where I am now. I will hang out, and we will be ready to ride for tomorrow for the compensatory call-in. I hope folks are safe. If we have people in the D.C. area, I hope you are super safe, because I know it's got to be a lot of chaos in that area. I would be in the bed if I was there. I'd be trying to really not out and about in all of that. I can't even imagine the amount of security and enforcement officials and all that in the general area. I would not want to be out and about in all of that. With that, if you have questions, if you can't find something in the archives, we played a lot of the material that you heard today is from in the archives. You can go back at various points, stuff from Mr. Fuller, Dr. Welzing, clips even from some of the listeners and what have you. It's in the archives. So if you get confused or if you have a question, you can drop an email untiljustice@gmail.com, and we will try to follow up promptly. But other than that, we'll be here tomorrow. Looking forward to hearing from folks. And we'll be here next Wednesday. Black female, black mother in Belgium. She'll be joining us. It'll be about this time, about 1 I guess it'll be 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific. She should be with us. She has Mr. Fuller's literature. She has been listening to The Cows. We'll be grand to have her on the program to hear about her experience on the other side of the planet. World problem, world system of white power. Well, I am going to take a little break and then get back on the grind for tomorrow's broadcast. I hope everyone stays safe. Have a constructive Friday evening. And I guess continue, if you're watching the parade or what have you, make any interesting notes and feel free to share. Thanks so much for tuning in, supporting the program. I hope it has helped folks get a better understanding of what racism, white supremacy is, how it works, what it means to be classified as white. Creator, we ask that you help us remain patient with other black people, victims of white supremacy. We ask that you help us remain patient with ourselves. Remind us to demonstrate the highest levels of black self-respect at all times, in all places, each and every time we are in contact with another black person. For sure, the late, great Dr. Frances Cress Welsing, 100% accurate with her prediction. For sure, she would want us exercise maximum black self-respect every day. Context of White Supremacy signing out. Thanks all for tuning in.
Nigga, you so brainwashed.
I'm a victim, brother.
No problem. You're a victim.
I'm a victim of 400 years of conditioning.
Shut up.
The man has programmed my condition. Mm-hmm. Even my conditioning has been conditioned.